For the past 2.5 weeks, we've been observing the Christmas season. There are two major points in the Christmas season. The first is emphasized on December 25th, that in the story of the birth of the Savior, what is proclaimed is that this is the Messiah, the Son of David, the Son of God, the one who has come to ransom the people of Israel. The second major point in the season happens in what we celebrated a week ago, the Feast of the Epiphany. When in the story of the three wise men from the east, what is announced is that this Savior comes not only for the house of Israel, but this Savior comes for the salvation of all the world. That this Jesus of Nazareth is a light of revelation to the Gentiles and also the glory of his people Israel. There are many announcers, if you will, in the infancy narrative. It's the angel Gabriel who announces to Mary the coming of the Messiah. It is the angel who announces to Joseph that the child to be born is Emmanuel, God with us. It is the chorus of angels who announce to the shepherds in that night as they kept watch over their flocks that today in the city of Bethlehem is born a Savior. It is the stars of the heaven that announce to the wise men from the east that something dramatic has happened and a new king is born. It is from the lips of the prophet Simeon and the prophetess Anna that testimony is given that this child is a holy one. This child is destined for the rise and the fall of many in Israel. And today, the last moment of the season, it is God who gives testimony, who ratifies all that has been said and done. You are my son, my beloved. My favor rests with you. You are pleasing to me. And so in that moment, the identity of Jesus is ratified and the destiny and the mission of Jesus is confirmed. You and I were gathered into the mystery of Christ through the waters of baptism. And it's in those waters of baptism that you and I received our identity as sisters and brothers of the Lord, daughters and sons of God. And it's in the water of baptism that you and I received our mission, our purpose, that we are to be proclaimers, we are to be witnesses to the very mystery of Christ that works its way in our own lives and in the life of the world. You know, that hasn't always been very well understood. Very often the way to understand a community or a people is to investigate its history, to read its story. And if you were to pick up a book about the history or the story of Catholicism in the United States, probably 95% of those pages would be detailing the works and the importance of various members of the clergy in developing a history. I think that would be pretty accurate. And yet, what you and I know is that the church is not the clergy. The clergy make up about 0.01% of the church population. 99.99% of the body of Christ is made up of what is called in church writing the laity. Men and women of faith, persons baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus, witnesses to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and men and women who by their work and by their lives proclaim the presence of God in this world. And yet very often when, if you will, the laity are defined, they're defined negatively. The definition of 99.99% of the church population is that they are not clergy. Well, that's one heck of a way to define the great majority. And that was pretty well operative until the time of the Second Vatican Council. And what the council sought to bring to our attention and to help us in reforming our approach to life is to recognize that for all members of the body of Christ, the fundamental point is to be found in one's baptism. That it is out of baptism that everything else emerges. It is out of baptism that you and I become together the body of Christ. Now there are many roles and many jobs that must be done within a community. But it's not those roles or those jobs that give persons their identity. What gives us our identity is our birth into the mystery of Christ. When I talk to people about the meaning of baptism, very often I will say, to understand baptism, you really have to understand this proposition. Baptism is to the church what birth is to a family. Baptism is to the church what birth is to a family. It is by being born into a family that one receives one's rights and responsibilities as a family member. It is by being born into a family that one has a place at that family table. It is by being born into a family that one has the obligation to care for other family members and the right to expect those family members to care for you. And so by being baptized into the church, all the rights and responsibilities that touch our lives as disciples of the Lord all of those rights and responsibilities find their basis, find their origin in the act of baptism. So just as in the waters of the Jordan and by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and by the confirmation of God's word, Jesus of Nazareth is confirmed and established in his destiny, so in the waters of our baptism and the outpouring of God's Spirit in that sacrament, you and I are confirmed and established in our identity, and we are given a destiny. So today's feast is not so much part of, well, it is. It's part of the Christmas season in the sense it confirms all that has gone before. But it is the launching point. It's the launching point for the rest of our observance of the church year. That from this moment on, we will reflect week after week after week after week on the story of Jesus in the Gospel according to Mark. And we will reflect on Jesus playing out his identity, his destiny, as Son of David, Son of God. That destiny confirmed, ratified, and pronounced in the waters of the Jordan. So you and I, baptized in Christ Jesus, gather as who we are, the church. And we form our community on the solid foundation of what is most essential about each and every one of us. We are the baptized. And it's in that role that we come to this table and together celebrate the mystery of Christ.